Appropriate song back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Jason McCabe with you. Yes, first pitch, first game, College World Series in Omaha. Stanford and NC State will be game one tomorrow at 1 o'clock our time, and then Vanderbilt and Arizona in the nightcap at 6 o'clock, and that will be aired on ESPN. Speaking of that, let's bring in Kyle Peterson, who will be a part of all the festivities. And it is strange over the years to ever ask a question like this, Kyle, but you know, coming off 2020, we know things are done differently. So I'm just going to ask you probably a silly question, but I really don't know the answer. Are you guys in Omaha? Are you doing the games from there?
No, I mean, given recent history, that's far from a silly question. Yeah, we're here. We're here. So I'm in the ballpark right now. I was just on the field. Actually, Tennessee's on the field right now practicing. So we are here. We will be in person. I mean, it's a little bit easier commute for me. It's about a 22-minute drive from home to the ballpark. But thankfully, we'll be in the box, and it is long overdue.
Wow, that is great to hear. Just for people out there listening, and I know we've talked about it a lot because of Vanderbilt's success, so there are a lot of people in our listening area that have made the trek out to Omaha in the College World Series, but there's also a lot who haven't. Can you just kind of set the scene of how awesome this place is for the next couple of weeks hosting this big event?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been here 70-plus years, and so I think from a city standpoint, it's grown up here, it's matured here. Obviously, the move to TD 10, 11, 12 years ago, whatever it is now, you know, maybe, I guess, took it a little bit to a different level, but it just, this is where it belongs. And from a city standpoint, you know, we really realized it last year when it wasn't here, just even more the impact that it has on businesses and the people that, you know, many of which make a lot of their living over the course of 2 weeks. So streets are starting to fill up. It's a rare year because the Olympic swim trials are literally across the parking lot at CHI Center. And so you've got Michael Phelps walking through the hotel and those guys doing that. That's another few days. And then obviously the series takes center stage tomorrow. So it's a pretty good time to be in this town.
Wow, that's really cool. I said the first game is Stanford and NC State. And, wow, we all watched NC State after losing 21-2 in Fayetteville in that Super Regional come back and win that and eliminate the number one seed overall in a team that we've certainly watched here in SEC country a lot. And if you would have told me, and while we can bet in the state of Tennessee, I did not bet, because if I would have bet on Arkansas coming out of that regional, I would not have a shirt on today, Kyle. So how surprised were you that the Hogs are not in Omaha?
Surprised. I mean, I think that, you know, this is just a game that if you're making determinations based on a weekend, it's just not really built for that. You know, I mean, it's built to, over the course of 56, 162, whatever your time is. That, I think, is what tells you what the better teams are over the course of the year. And the reality was, you know, NC State's got five arms. And they got nine bats when you go look at their lineup. I mean, they play essentially the same nine guys when they're healthy the entire season, and they really ride five arms. And those four teams were really good on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday and Monday, whatever the two was, I don't remember, but the back 2 days. And I think I was talking to Elliot Avent, the head coach of NC State, a while ago, who's a blast, by the way. And he's like, you know, we just kind of, after the game, didn't really say much. I said, boys, they got to get us twice. And it really doesn't matter what the score is of the first one. They still got to get us twice. And to hang around in that environment and to win 2 one-run games, and obviously to do it against Cops the last day, is something that and NC State's really good, but it's something that nobody had done the whole year.
Yeah. Arizona comes in as the top-ranked offense in the country, so we know they can swing the bats. Ole Miss found that out in the Super Regionals, a team that's not afraid to plate runs, but there's a couple things going in Vanderbilt's favor. They've got these two guys that have last names Rocker and Leiter that they can use. They're really, really good, and they've got the ballpark that you talked about in the last decade that is much more pitcher-friendly. But how big of a – and by the way, East Carolina could score runs too, and Vanderbilt held them to one run in the two games here. How do you see Vanderbilt trying to go about trying to slow Arizona's offense down?
I mean, you know, if there's anybody that can do it, it's definitely those two. I think, to your point, you know, this ballpark's going to play a little bit different than High Corbett does where Arizona plays. I mean, it really flies there. The gaps are huge. It's not that Arizona hits a million home runs, but High Corbett plays a lot like Coors Field does. I mean, it's a huge field. And so if you get into gaps, you got a it's going to be a double, but you got a chance to get a triple every time. This place is different. I mean, it plays bigger, but the gaps aren't quite as big, so you're not going to see as many triples. But I'll also tell you that, you know, a lot of it is based on, you look at the temperature, and you can tell right away how well it's going to fly. And if it's warm and the wind's coming out of the southwest, that's when this place can play a little bit smaller. But the temperatures are going to cool off a little bit. And when it does cool off and sometimes the wind becomes pretty benign, I think it's going to play pretty straight up this year. I would hope that we can go through the vast majority of this week not bringing the ballpark into equation as to that having anything to do with the outcome of the game.
Interesting. Kyle Peterson on the line with us in Omaha. So who do you, right now, looking at these eight teams, who do you think does not want, look, none of them want to be in the loser's bracket. I'm stating the obvious, but sometimes you have to play out of the loser's bracket. Who do you not like because of, you know, pitching, lack of pitching or depth or what have you? You take it however you want, but who do you think's in trouble if they're in the loser's bracket right out of the gates?
I mean, I think it's a lot tougher for Vanderbilt, for one. I mean, obviously, Kumar and Leiter have been unbelievable the entire season, but, you know, they're not quite sure about who pitches on day three. We saw Christian Little really good, honestly, in late in the season, but I'm not sure exactly what he fits in. So they're not ideal for it. NC State's not ideal for it. They're not incredibly deep when it comes to staffs. I mean, those that are set up to do it are Texas, Mississippi State. Stanford's really not set up to do it. They're not terribly deep when you get on the mound. So I'd say those, I mean, Stanford, NC State, and honestly, Vandy are three that jump out right away. That's not really the route that they want to go. And I think if you're Texas, if you're Mississippi State, if you fall into the loser's bracket, it's not the end of the world because they're both those staffs. And I know States didn't necessarily look that way in the Supers, but State's got a deep staff.
Talking to Kyle Peterson from ESPN, talking some College World Series. You know, obviously a lot's been made around here about not only Vanderbilt, but Tennessee as well, as they'll take on Virginia on Sunday. But Tony Vitello has really turned this thing around in a short amount of time. How impressed have you been of watching that turnaround and the job that he's done, not only this year, but since he got the job?
Extremely. I mean, listen, he, you know, clearly they inherited some talent. I mean, you know, you got to have some there when you get there, but Tony's always been one of the best recruiters in the country and was known for that when he got to Tennessee. I think now what's happened is he's also one hell of a leader. And that team has taken on it's taken on a personality of incredible confidence. And, you know, when you're trying to rebuild something back, you got to believe first. And you got to have success, obviously, but there's got to be belief. And sometimes it's belief in things that maybe you didn't really think could happen quite as early as they have, and I think this is one of those. If you look at the build, I mean, the build was pretty consistent, you know? I mean, they potentially would have been a national seed or at least a host last year. 19, they're a regional team again. It wasn't that long ago, you know, 5-6 years ago, we were talking about whether or not Tennessee was going to make the SEC tournament. Forget the NCAA tournament. That wasn't even in discussion, but it's incredibly impressive what he's done, and it's even more impressive that he's done it in that league, because to turn a team around and a program around and be as dominant as they've been, and they were, I mean, not dominant within the league, but they're really, really good. To do it in that league is not easy, and there aren't too many that have done it historically.
He obviously is getting attached to jobs that are opening up, you know, that you could consider bigger jobs. But, you know, I'll just use Vanderbilt as an example. What Tim Corbin has done to build that program into a powerhouse, do you feel like that Tennessee, with the resources that Vitello's getting, the job that he's doing, that if he stays there for a long time, that he can build that into a perennial powerhouse?
Yeah, I don't know why he couldn't. I mean, he's done it this fast. There's going to need to be some facility attention, and it sounds like that is taking place right now to the tune of some significant dollars. And in that league, you got to play the game. It was funny. I was talking to Jay Johnson a few minutes ago, the head coach of Arizona, and that's not the game on the West Coast. Like, I mean, there isn't anybody on the West Coast. Oregon built a very nice baseball stadium. But in regards to bells and whistles and all the suites and everything else that you see in the SEC, that does not exist on the West Coast. It's just not the case. But the reality is, if you're going to play the game in the SEC, you got to play that game to some extent. And I think that's, you know, there's two things that comes next. One's to lock him up longer term. Because if you're Tennessee, you don't want you don't want to give him any reason whatsoever to leave. And the second thing is it's time. The facilities need an upgrade, and I think they need a pretty significant upgrade. But as far as a guy that can, I would say, maintain a program at the level that it is right now, I don't know why you would think anything else based on what Tony's done.
Kyle, when you look at the SEC as a whole, just outside of the teams we've talked about, Mississippi State, obviously, in the College World Series, Arkansas was close. You have LSU that had been a perennial favorite at times. Just the overall state of the SEC right now in college baseball. I mean, how cool has that been to see of that conference just grow as a whole?
It was a few things. I mean, I had a big league game on opening day, and we had a graphic that just showed number of players on major league opening day rosters from different conferences, and the SEC had more than two and three combined. I think it was a Pac-12 and Big 12 or two and three. But I think the SEC had 91 players on big league rosters on opening day, and you add whoever it was, I think it was the Pac and maybe the Pac and the Big 12, you add those together, and it still was not what the SEC had. So just from a pure talent standpoint, and I know that it irks a lot of people around the country, and believe me, I get it. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest and went to school on the West Coast, and forever it would bother me when I'd hear SEC, SEC. The reality is it's true. And it's just that as a whole, there's no league like it. And I don't think you realize it. It took me a few years of covering it to really realize it, that there's just no off weeks. But it'll be interesting to see Jim Schlossnagel come into the league at Texas A&M. Because there's no Kansas. You don't get that weekend. you don't get K-State. And K-State had a chance to get into the postseason this year. But still, I mean, those are not, you know, your weekends were theoretically you get a breather. Kentucky. I mean, Missouri. Missouri's turned a ton of guys into big leaguers. So it's different. It's different. It's more consistent. And there's more commitment from athletic directors across the board than any other conference, and it's not even close.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch it all unfold in Omaha here starting tomorrow, and I can't wait to watch it on ESPN. Kyle, appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Yeah, man, sorry I was a little bit late. You bet. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, no worries at all. Kyle Peterson, ESPN college baseball analyst, joining us here on the show. We will have much more coming. We're live at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Rackley Roofing 200, which is the truck race tonight, the Tennessee Lottery 250, the Xfinity tomorrow, and the Big Daddy for the first time since 1984, the Ally 400 Cup Series race on Sunday, which you can hear starting at 1:30 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have much more coming on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.